Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as I always do, I bring in the best guests in the world. And a newcomer to the show today, we've got Alan Palmer from NASDAQ.com, a veteran trader, been running around since about 1973, another old man. Now I got two old men on the phone. What's up, Mr. Palmer?
What's up, Todd? Good morning. Happy Friday morning.
Yeah, it is a Friday, and so what's going on in the world, my man? Tell us what's going on and what you've been doing.
Okay, well, what I do over at NASDAQ, I'm a chart guy, okay? I'm a chart guy. I like patterns, and I see these patterns, and they're the same recurring patterns. They're based off of price action, so if something's more volatile, it will not discount the validity of the model. I get these signals, which happen to coincide. This is what I call it, okay? I just have a name for it. I call it my olive line. There's two of them in a set. And to give you an example, this morning or yesterday, Netflix, because I cover stocks and futures, and Netflix had one, an olive line sell. Now, a lot of times when stocks get in the news, because I don't follow everything, then I surely can't trade it. But what I can do is I can chart it. And Netflix came out with their earnings, and they were up sharply in the stock. I had a couple levels at 128 and 129 in change. I actually have them posted on my site. I don't mean to tout that, Todd. I really don't. But because it's visual. I'm a visual kind of guy, and what happens is with these lines, they have to hit these lines because that's where these macro strategies start coming into play.
Okay.
So I don't know if I should keep rolling. Yeah.
Well, no, I let you tell us what's going on. Tell us what you're seeing. Go through the trade if you want. You know, again, tell me what you want to tell me. I know a lot of it's confidential information, but tell me what you want to tell me and let it go.
Okay. All right. Well, currently in the Dow, I did actually have one of these olive line sells about a month ago, which I saw happens to coincide with the McDonald's had an olive line. Everything is independent. Everything is individual. And I'll tell you something else. What I notice is even in spread relationships, ratios or just one against another, whether it's an intermarket, like a bean corn spread or wheat beans, is that they push them to extremes, okay? And a lot of times when that happens, they'll be pushing it to extremes. In Netflix case, the market races up, and I give sell levels. If you're interested in that, if you're interested in selling Netflix, for example, then these would be your sell levels, okay? Now, the McDonald's one hit at the same time the S&P's hit. And the S&P's, that number was 2172. We traded ticks through it, and the VIX traded down to 12, under 12. It was sub 12 in the morning, the bar that it hit. And that's the kind of emotion in the markets that I feel that I capture. And I put a little bit of a trader spin on it because, Todd, you and I, we've seen everything. We've seen crashes, droughts. Remember the old bomb threats?
Oh, yeah.
I was just a little boy in the 70s, and I remember going over with the older people because I was a young teenager, and we'd go over to the bar. I wasn't drinking, but back in the old days, that's when we used to kind of regularly get these bomb threats. So, so I've been around a while, and I don't know. Do you want me to run through some markets here?
Look, I guess, you know, obviously, first time guest on my show, I let you talk. You can have a good time. You can do your thing, and I got plenty of questions for you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about NASDAQ and what you do first, and then we'll get into the rest. We'll talk about trades. We'll talk about markets. We'll do the whole thing.
Okay. All right. So at NASDAQ, what I wanted to do, first of all, we have Todd. When I see you, that's like really some of our only human interaction down here at the Board of Trade or CME. You know, we don't have the people like when we used to have 8,000 people at the Board of Trade, and I don't know how many were over at the Merck, but I'm about the same. Where you just had, there were just a lot of humans that were employed, okay? And I'm a numbers guy, so whether it's FASB, Financial Accounting Standard Board rules, and how those play to the markets, for example, crude, the last week of the quarter, couple weeks ago, crude promptly rallied 5%, and voila, we see that crude is all, actually, I have a 52 in Beast Crude, 5205 is one of my olivine cells. The only thing I can say about these things, if you're going to catch these things, is you got to hang on to the winners, and because the winners will turn into such big winners. But the crude oil's been popping up here now in October, so we got the beginning of the quarter. And I happen to think there's a lot of buying that was triggered or some systems were triggered that said, okay, now is the time to start investing a little bit in the crude oil complex, if you will. And but now all of a sudden we're kind of breaking here, and actually we're steady on the week. I got 50, 60-ish, and we are like really steady on the week. So this olive line said to sell it up at 52. You know, if we start to get under 50-50, this crude oil, for example, could start to break.
I think crude oil is going to break. So that's my play. I think it's well overdone now. I think that I think it's all up for no good reasons. And certainly, I'm not a fundamental trader, but I can't make a fundamental case for it anyways, and certainly technically I couldn't make a case for it myself, but so go ahead and finish your explanation, sorry.
Yeah, okay, well, we agree on that, Todd. One thing about fundamentals, okay, and this is the perpetual argument, is I'll take technicals any time over fundamentals because the charts will tell me more. And even if when we gap up, we gap down. What we do, gap down today in stocks. And actually, here we go. Are we 10:06? Yes, we are. We just started one of my time frames. And so it's a new bar. Okay. And I see the S&P is now 21:30, 25:30 even. And we just kind of gapped up here. So this is a time, I'll also tell you a story, how traders react, okay? Because I ran into working with this, he was a big S&P trader, a big one. And so I told him about my 10:06 time frame, that's time to pay attention. And he came back with me and he's like, he goes, boy, it was after a couple of weeks. And he's like, I've never seen anything like it. He goes, to tell you the truth, I used to always stop trading at 10 o'clock because the market never made sense. Okay. I do these time frames, and they tell you more, and they're not the generic time frames. For example, I'm going to just throw it out there, a 60-minute chart. Why 60 minutes? What is the unit of measure? I've done a little bit more on this behavioral science kind of thing. When it gets to my numbers, that it actually shifts. I had this historic olive line buy in January and February in the crude oil, amongst some of the other products, 91 cents in one of them. I don't know if it was heat or RBOB, which is unleaded gas. And it was just like, buy it at 29. And I suggested, I'm like, listen, if you got a 6 to 9 month window, you just hang out to it. You just take $1 million, put 8% of it. You got 30 futures contracts at $29. We got down to $29. And I am telling you, I had professionals that were long all the way from 36, because my other olive line, this is major macro, was about 35.50. We bounced 8 or 10% once.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Okay. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're with Alan Palmer from NASDAQ.com. Make sure when you miss a show, you go to libertytalk.fm, and you can download the show every day as well as the Sporting Edge. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we'll be right back with more from Alan Palmer, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Wake up, Maggie.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Ellen Palmer from NASDAQ.com and another great chart expert and another great analyst of the market. And so you were telling us the story about crude oil, so what was happening? They were long from 36, and what happened?
Okay, so the pros, these are pros, and they were long all the way down. And I said, I go, I got 3550 is olive line one. I have two, that's how I describe them, and it goes into my site a little bit and defines them. And then olive line two was at 28.95 in the April contract. The Feb and the March are kind of like trading September soybeans. You know, it's a goofy month. It's really, it shouldn't be a month. It's not a big one. But they were in spot, and that was when we went to down to 26 and 25.50 or something, like down $2 in a day. Remember that? It was record contango or contagion, whichever. They were $8. I think it was $8 between, I don't know if it was 2 months or 3 months. And so those are the historic situations. Now I happen to think that grains, we have the biggest bin buster crop out there. I've been talking about it for a while, and we finally get down to some of my olive lines in wheat. Now, wheat, 390 was one of them, and when we start getting down there, it'll be like gold at 1058. That was another one late last year, silver, 1385. Now, I did have another one at 1405, but at that point, I'm giving the story that you want to load up on some inflationary plays. They waited out the guys like Rick Santelli that were all bearish bonds for years. And I'm friends with Rick. My wife was in PR at the Board of Trade. You should have set Rick up with CNBC. But the point is that people, it just is behavioral science as we eat down. Copper, I don't have one yet, so copper's going lower. I can be assured to you, here's a little prediction. Somebody will blow out, probably a copper producer, when we start to get down by my olive line. But we haven't set those panic conditions yet.
So, now, how do you arrive at your olive lines?
Okay, well, that's part of my secret sauce.
Okay.
But let me tell you that the time frames are even more interesting, because I went through this at the beginning, and I finally ran into a computer guy, and I was like, not a trader at all. And I was like, how come when I do this to my time frames, I'll get the same pattern? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It's like the S&P guy. All he knew was that around 10 o'clock he would lose money, so he stopped trading. That's the sign of a good trader. Jesse Livermore, you might not be able to say why you're bullish or bearish something. It might be stuck in your subconscious that you've seen this before.
Okay, so if you've seen it before, which we know one thing, and a lot of times in the show I talk about what I call universal price, that, you know, all charts are the same, and the shortest time frame always has to resolve itself into the longer. That's how we change trend. You have to start changing the trend on a 1 or 2 minute chart before you can change a longer term chart. So the patterns themselves will always repeat under all time frames. Do you agree or disagree with that?
You're absolutely right on. Yes, that's why we're students of the markets. We're students of the markets, and all you have to do is spend 30 years down there, and you'll learn more, right?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, obviously you can learn a lot earlier than that. Again, of course, you can, do a lot of, you know, studying and information. So tell us a little bit about your background. Did you ever trade live on the floor?
From the beginning, I'll make it fast. I started when I was 13 and then 1973 and was a runner. And the guy I happened to work for did not graduate high school. And he pretty much sharpened his pencils, but he worked for Cook Grain. And it was 73, so that was the great grain robbery, they called it. Which actually says some possible. I know it's not similarities now, but I'm always looking forward for the story. And I got into trading. I started trading in the 80s. Well, actually, in 1979, I think I was at the Mid-Am. Worked for Richardson Green Shields, and my gig was I was the floor manager, and there was the biggest metals dealer up in Winnipeg. So I kind of became on the map, and then I went to the Board of Trade, and I went to the NASDAQ in the CME to trade, well, i.e. NAS dog, and that was in the process when it went six standard deviations. In the 90s, I did a stint with Paul Tudor Jones. I worked for him for a few years. It was a great opportunity, and the things that I learned in those trader meetings, I apply now, and I try to look at it, what are the big guys going to do? You know, because that's where you get in trouble. Just ran into a guy at the FIA, a longtime board of trader, and he's like, I remember when you said the banks were going to crash or whatever it was. And, you know, when you get some feelings like that, that's when you want to shoot. You know, trading every single day without some really good numbers can really wear on you because the HFT, the algorithms they have are making your screen hypnotizing, and it's designed to do that, in my opinion.
Well, that's fine. I mean, again, I believe I'm a guy that, you know, people complain about HFT, people talk about it, but I go, hey, without them, you wouldn't be paying the smaller commissions you're paying, and you wouldn't have as much liquidity, because the whole design of the market now is to get rid of the floor, which will be gone. I didn't think it would make it through 16, so I would say by the end of 17, it'll be gone for sure.
Yeah, I don't disagree with it. And, you know, being over at the FIA, I'd have to say, my God, I'd have to say 25% of their products were for speed. I ran into a German guy that says, I can travel the speed of light. You know, so I address some of those issues under psychology or really, do we really need to do that? You know, do we really need, you know, because then we get into the he with the fastest server takes all, leaves no prisoners. I go into stuff like that on my site just for the psychology part of it, that they're going after these bigger players, like in copper. Like they're going to go after the bigger player if I was to make a prediction on that, but I don't even follow copper.
Right. So, you know, you do a lot of, obviously, a lot of chart work, and you understand it. And of course, you know, people are out there and they say, hey, they're going after me. But, you know, as you watch and as you traded, okay, you find, I would suspect, that the same things happen over and over again. And, of course, not every one of your calls is going to be correct, but the general theory behind them all is based on our probability model. Is that not correct?
Yeah, and controlling your risk. Okay, so here, I'm looking at a Bean chart here, and we just had the same kind of type of thing. Actually, these S&Ps are still holding this gap here. What's our low this since 10.06? 29 and a quarter. Okay. But the grains have the same pattern here, and I have, we're talking live right now, we're 981 and three quarters last. I've got this 80 and three eighths. It's Friday. These lines tend to be where people are going to have to make a decision. Now, beans, you have a really two-sided story. You got the people going for the last 30-cent break, okay? And while I've been talking, and I say for the next 6 to 9 months, there's going to be, I said at least 100 managers, I'm just throwing it out there, that want to buy 4,000 or 5,000 bushel one lots. Okay, and now I'm seeing that there's some money being raised. I think it's $2.3 billion or something like that that's gearing back into commodities. Okay, so they'll buy stuff that's high, like sugar and coffee now. Coffee had an olive line buy down at 117, 119. I had the chairman in on one of them. And when I say you got to stay with the winners, we got up to $1.35, and I'll have to tell you, one of the guys was just like wanted to sell. You know, and then we go up to 152. Okay, it's easier for me to say that, but that's what I do. I try to come up with rules where you just, and with the levels, where you take these little shots and you just have it a clean bet, okay? Your risk, whatever. I say three ticks, okay, but that's pretty aggressive. But 7 to 12 ticks, and you're looking for a multiple of that. But I break it down a little bit more. So if you're looking for 7, you're looking for at least 21 or larger, if these things are larger.
Well, yeah, and I mean, of course, the best way to trade is if you can manage your risk, which is another key topic that we talk about here on the show all the time. By managing that risk, you can allow yourself to stay in the winner, and that becomes the much bigger issue. And I know that's one of the things that you concentrate on, is that by managing risk, it allows you to carry longer, and you should not be, when you get, your trades are designed to be big hits. I know that you try to target, you know, 2,000 to 4,000 per move, and you know those are things that you know you have to look at based on, so you continue to like move your stop and you continue to let the markets work for you. And that's how you have to let things happen. You can't just try to, you know, flip these in and out. It's not the same markets that we've had, and it's not a market really for quick ins and outs. We're with Alan Palmer from NASDAQ.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on Saturdays. We will be back after the break with more from Alan Palmer, NASDAQ.com, The Bubba
You're
Show.
So Todd Bubba delicious. Horowitz, you're right there. You're so soft.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Alan Palmer, NASDAQ.com. That's NASDOG.com, and former NASDAQ trader. So, Alan, I know in the NASDAQ back in the day, it was a wild place. Tell us a little about some of those experiences down there.
Okay. It was when I went there, okay, and I really wanted to be late because, first of all, one of my big problems as a trader with the trader profile I have is that I had always traded too much, and sometimes I would get out of step here. That's why I immersed myself into the charts, looking for patterns and things with the edge, and I found that my research, I love to do research, you know, and I can do it on a lot. What was the question, Todd? Listen, you do really a nice job by bringing that up, and you brought up about taking the shorter-term charts. You're absolutely right. I happen to go to a three-minute, but, you know, if you're looking for a trigger, so say, for example, I have a level or something like that, then it gets there. You can sell it with a small stop. You might get stopped out, but an awful lot of times, most of the time, it's going to respect that. There, a lot of times, it'll be the actual high and low, and at least give you a breather. And that's why if you take these levels out, these algos flip, and they go into overdrive. All right, so speaking of overdrive, let's touch on the British pound, okay, because I had one of my olive line buys down there. And remember that flash crash we had, about 2 weeks back? The markets became a little discombobulated. But my level right now, olive line one buy, is 121.57. Okay, now you have to realize, okay, so the low at the CME contract was 120.34. And listen, this was a panic, okay? There is another one down there, okay? But since then, we have just stopped doing a consecutive pattern down into this buy level, and we're kind of doing a bottleneck or some sideways action. If that level was to be violated, let me just say we're going to go another 500 points in the British pound before I get my next signal. So, but that's what it does. It's like a falling knife. And then, my previous, support up there was 129.23. So 129 to 121, that's 800 ticks. And, so I don't have a lot of noise here, and my longer term stuff is good, but the shorter term stuff, if you're a trader, is for a day trader. You can, where you generate these numbers. You can generate these numbers and these support and resistance lines.
So are you purely a 100% technical trader? Do you let any of the outside noise or news ever influence your decision?
Okay, that's a great question, Todd. I did a piece, and I'm like, don't listen to anybody, okay? And I went a little bit further and say in the elections or in the Fed. Let's just take dot plots, for example, okay? Dot plots, to me, they're the most asinine thing I've ever heard. Okay, now let me explain what the dot plots are. There's 17 people at the Federal Reserve, okay? And they're all making guesses as to what they think the interest rates are going to be doing out for I don't know how long, because it's silly. Because the Fed is glued to zero. We go over the last 10 years, they've raised rates once. And it's like the earth is going to shake if they do it anymore, okay? So the Fed is a dove, and I see no reason. Listen, it's game on in inflation right now. It's game on in bonds. In the 10 years, I had a major olive line sell up at 133.19 that was in the SEP contract. And like I said, everything goes to extremes. The bond 10-year went to an extreme when the bonds went to an all-time record low 30-year interest rate at 209 and hit a couple targets. They weren't perfect. I had one at 176, one at 177 and change or something like that, and they split them. Targets are different. GoPro had a target at $8.77. When it was at 100, they loved it. When it got down there, I tell people, I got a number here in GoPro. Nobody likes it. So there's behavioral science is really in these markets and about not listening to anybody. How many times have they changed the election? I heard one day that Hillary was up 10, and I'm like, it doesn't matter what the opinion, whether you were pumped or not, and then all of a sudden Trump is back up. I personally believe the media makes the stuff up. And let me give you my example in 1985 when I was in my 20s and I was a fundamentalist. And I found that in the soybeans or soybean oil, that if you took their monthly data out of, what was it called, Commodity Perspective or one of those, and you took that monthly export data, that it would always be within 2 to 3% of the final figure. Okay, sometimes that matters, and sometimes when the market is expecting it, it doesn't. But sometimes the market is not expecting it. Anyway, fast forward to the end of the crop year, which is like right now, and all of a sudden the government came out, revised their figures, and I think bean oil won't limit up for a couple days or something. I don't know. They're, you know, it's 30 years ago. But that's when I decided you just take fundamentals and chuck them out the window. Think about it. Think about the U.S. We're hemorrhaging money. We've gone through 7 years of a virtual record GDP. Save the argument, but notionally it's record GDP, and we're still hemorrhaging $450 billion. I mean, it's kind of like, why bother?
Well, I mean,
we're never going to make progress, and yet interest rates went to all time record 30-year lows, while the other ones did not.
I agree 100%. And I guess the point is that I'm a big believer that the chart will show you the news long before the news ever hits the tape. Like, you know, when they have big reports, I'm a big believer that that's already been priced in, because in today's world of technology, these big firms and these big banks, they have a way to buy that information ahead of time, and they're already kind of setting up before it happens. What do you think?
I agree. I totally agree. Here, let me go back to that Netflix example that's in the news now. Okay, now that's coming up to my sell levels, and it's on great earnings. Okay, now on the other side of that coin, I did post a outline buy. You know what? I'm down at the I'm in the Board of Trade right now, and you know, sometimes you do your work. I have the home. I use CQG. I love CQG because you can execute off these trend lines. And so do the big guys. Now, they can't buy 1,000 at one price, of course, but when they hit these lines and then you start to go over some of the things we talked about, a gap up or, you know, you gap up over a trend line within your shorter term time frame, like you said, Todd, when you're trying to, you know, when you're trying to time that thing as a trader. And the only thing I can say is you have to have a stop in. You have to have a risk stop in because, well, we all know that why you have to have a stop.
You got to have a stop because if you don't, you might end up getting your potatoes crashed off, because we know that markets can have a tendency and can run quite a bit when they want to either way. And it's something that you always have to be prepared for. I believe, Alan, in this business, you always have to be prepared for the worst and be able to play out for the best, which means, going back to your theory, you got to let the winners run and allow yourself to be in, but you also have to make sure that you manage the risk so that the losers don't take you out of the business.
Yes. Couldn't agree more, Todd. Couldn't agree more. I'm looking at an app. You know, I'm just paging through some of these things. This Alibaba, I had one at an olive line buy at 61. Okay, now you remember Alibaba did the IPO, and then all of a sudden it started. I remember doing a little a video or something, and I said, is Jack Ma a fraud? But in the whole scheme of things, this was the Chinese eBay or Amazon, whatever you want to buy. Now I'm up in Olive Line Sell at 107.90 and 110.99. Those are areas of contention. So if you're getting bullish Baba right now, I would say hang on a second. Now we get over those levels, where we start to make new highs, it's game on here. And that's kind of what I tried to talk about on the longer term stuff. But this same emotional pattern in Tesla, with a 147 and 139, and we shot up to 270. I call those the olive wine cha-cha. We did it in about 2 months. This is a weekly chart. Yeah, about 2-3 months. Less. I mean, it's a little bit less. So we get these extremes a lot. If you get in at the right spot and you cannot look at it, you know, you just leave your stop and they add up, because these swings are. Here's another one for you, Todd. Stocks and bonds, the 60-40 mix. Okay, I touted this. Bond futures in July were up. One of these numbers I watched, it was up 16%. Happens to be exactly close to what the NASDAQ was down on the year in February. Anyway, it was up 16%. I called that a hedge fund type return. These are in bonds, okay? So, yeah, interest rates are low, but we did it to an extreme where they were up 16% on the year, hitting some targets, 10-year note, olive line sell. You know, that was pretty perfect, but you couldn't sell it to anybody. You can't sell it to them because they all want to buy bonds. We're going to negative rates. I'm like, oh, my God, why are you listening to people out there if you just – because, no, you got the booms now. I don't know if they're still positive, you know, and I don't trade them. It's a foreign market. But I said use zero now, because we went down there. We did our negative rate stuff for whatever month, a couple months. Everybody thinks it's the new norm. And now all of a sudden we get positive. I think we got a lot of fireworks, Todd, going on in 2017, and it might happen. Remember, last year, it started in December. We had the August big break, and then we go rally back up. And then there was an olive line sell. I gave it to the S&P trader. No, I think it was on maybe December 28th.
Hold that thought. December 28th, this is Alan Palmer from NASDAQ.com, chartist extraordinaire, and been around for 100 years. And this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. You missed the show. LibertyTalk.fm. We just got to 270,000 downloads a month. I need to get to 300,000. I need your help, so go download it now. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. 10 miles from After 10, welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Alan Palmer from NASDAQ.com. So you're telling us about December 28th, and you had a sell signal, and of course we all know what happened after that. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so we came out of the box. Now remember, another thing I'm bullish on are first-time evers. And if you recall, well, I'm going off memory here. You know, a day, I can't even remember what day of the week it is, but in January, we came out and we were like, remember, we were down 5 days and whatever it was. I can't even remember, but there were first things that hadn't happened before. okay? And you say, well, Alan, that's silly. How are you going to bet that? Okay, if, listen up, option traders, if it's never happened before, they're gunning for you. Now, I say that, and I also say that these guys are going to be gunning for insurance companies, and now all of a sudden, see, what we have in this employment situation with the way there's bonus depreciation and R&D credits, we have this cannibalization of the human workforce, which, Todd, you and I have seen it firsthand on the trading floor. Chicago used to have probably 18,000 people in the trading industry, clerks, traders, and let alone the ancillaries, the guys that park the cars, shine the shoes, and all these other restaurants, and that's gone to what? I don't know. It's kind of sad.
About 150.
200 people.
Pretty ugly. So tell us about NASDAQ, and if somebody wanted to look you up, how would they find you?
Okay. NASDOG, NASDAQ, NASDAQ. I'm two letters different. Those guys are all up my butt too before, and you can't fight those guys. You know, that's where it comes back to. He with the biggest wallet and the fastest server takes all, leaves no prisoners. But Todd, listen, I appreciate the exposure. I appreciate the market talk. I love to talk markets. And, if you wanted to learn anything or you just need levels, that's what I do. That's what I do. I try to give an unemotional, well, I do give an unemotional. I think it's pretty good. And I come up, follow up with kind of voice recaps at the end of the day, but only when things are moving, you know. It's not like, but that's pretty much lately. That's been pretty much for the last couple of months. Because we've got these, you know, we got 10 to 40% swings in this stuff.
Now, do you follow the cattle markets and the hog markets?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. You know what? Let me, yes. Here we go. Okay, we got the hogs. Okay. So what do we got? These hogs here. Okay. I got about 42. We're in the 42 cent handle. Okay. To recap there. Holy cow. Didn't we just come off of 105? Believe it or not, I do not have an olive yet. They're down below, but I do have, I go in a sequence here, 4190 is one. Now, we just recently got the 4070, and I have a line at 4028. Okay, there's hogs. Let me go to, let me just pop up the cattle, because these meats have absolutely fallen out of bed. Okay. And here's one to tell you when they're wrong. And you're right, but you have to have, and the market here, my number was, that's these hogs. 5480 was a level. And we held it for a while. And then all of a sudden, 5480, that's 55. We just went down to 40, meaning this is how powerful these numbers are. These algos, they go stop searching some more for big players, for macro players. Live cattle, okay. Here, this one's close. There's a freebie here. And it's worth what you pay for it, so I'm not going to feel bad. What do I have? 102.70 in the beef cattle. I've got a 95-cent level. We did not get there yet. We did not. We got 96.10 as our low. But we are marching down. We are doing it, yeah. So 90, I'll give it to you exactly. 94.87. And if we get underneath there, 90 is a big level also. Might not see 90. So those are a couple in the meets right now, and it follows my pattern. You know, the rules I try to say is it races towards these cheaper levels between 101 and 95. It's 5%. You know, so if you're looking to buy inflation, location is everywhere. I mean, it sounds kind of commonsensical, but it really is, as opposed to people that just blindly buy, for example, in Nat Gas when it went down there. I had targets at $1.60-$1.50, and I have two targets, so the other one was a little higher. Doesn't mean that you buy it, but it means that the bear market can, and a lot of times does, end.
Oh, they always end eventually, and, you know, it's funny that you look at what's going on, and of course, you know, there is no way of exactly knowing where the dead highs are or the dead lows are, but usually most people will get trapped at either end because they're either chasing them up or they're chasing them down. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, Todd, you're absolutely right. And what I study is, okay, so as these markets kind of get close to my numbers, they keep inching out. So say, for example, we have an olive line sell in XYZ. Okay, well, we'll keep on rallying. Or let's take the opposite. Let's say you got an olive line buy, and it comes up short because the shorts cover, because they're using this, and then all of a sudden we just kind of keep eking out those new lows, and it's water torture to the longs, right? You know, it just kind of leaks, and then you get, maybe you could even bounce for weeks or a month, and then you come back down, and it's back, it's fresh. I've been hearing about this thing making new lows. I'm getting out of it right here. I don't ever want to look at it again. There's your olive line buy, probably.
Right. I mean, because, again, you and I both know that the charts are driven by what? They're driven by human emotion, which you made a point of earlier. And as they start to get frustrated, they typically create a top or a bottom. Would you agree?
Yeah. Now, there's also another thing I look for is I look for liquidation power. Here's one example for you in the grains. Okay, let's take the wheat and the corn, and I'm kind of not, but they were record short in the wheat, and wheat has gone from, listen, this year it was up at 550, but we really broke from 440 to 390. Okay, 10% in, let me see, the 19th to, this is in August, to the 31st. So you got the 2 weeks where you break 10%, and while it was just kind of like a chop fest sideways action, that was the original low, and then I kind of had some repeated buy areas there, you know, and I add a little market color if you think, if you want to buy inflation, you know, if you think, like, I also poke fun at Jan Hatzius when he came out and said there's no inflation forever. He sees sub 1% inflation. That was right before the bonds hit the high. There's, and I can name you those in something else, except my mind's going a little bit too fast. I just forgot what my other example was on the other side.
Well, let's talk about inflation. I mean, either the Fed says they need to get inflation. I go, we got plenty of inflation. They just don't count what we use every day, so they don't give us the inflation numbers. What do you think? Do you think we see some inflation here? Do you think we do continue down here along the deflation scenario?
No, I don't think the deflation. Okay, part of the deflation, though, and here's why. Todd, I remember being on the mid-am with Robbie Goldberg and Goldenberg, and he said we were of the same cloth, and he's like, Alan, don't you love a good accounting fraud? And I seriously do. I actually got a chance to ask Alan Greenspan in spring of 99 about the PE, about overfunded pensions, if you recall, and that they didn't have to make medical payments. And in GE, it was like something like $650 million they did not have to come up with. Throw that in their PE ratio, it doubled it. Throw stock options in and it doubled it. And after my 3.5 minute question, he turned to me and he said, and this is a boardroom full of the bigwigs, okay? And I really appreciated being invited because I was friends with Dave Brennan, who was the chairman. And let me ask the last question. He turns to me and he goes, yep. And I almost fell over and fainted. But then he went into about a 4-minute dissertation. You know, that somebody just wrote the book. He knew about it. Yeah, he did know about it because the PE, the real PE, and this was in spring of 99, at which time the NASDAQ went up by another 50%. I did not want to go over to them because they were carrying guys out, including Warren Buffett. Remember that? Six standard deviations?
Okay. That'll happen.
We go with 700 PE. That was the high.
Well, that'll happen. And this has been Alan Palmer from NASDAQ.com. Alan, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks a lot, Todd. And love your work in educating people.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.